Welcome to the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm Natasha, a licensed sex therapist and certified sex and intimacy coach, on a mission to empower Black women to choose a life of pleasure, not just today, but every day. There is nothing more powerful than a Black woman that authentically owns her pleasure and sensuality. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the gems. Welcome to another episode of the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Your Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am really excited to bring you this episode today. It was so much fun to record. This episode is around friendships. How many of us have them? Friends. So a topic that always comes up with my clients is being able to make friends as an adult. There are so many stereotypes that go around as Black women that we're hard to get along with, that we don't like having friendships, that we prefer to be, you know, friends with men and all of that. And I'm here to say that a really good friendship is definitely a part of my pleasure, and it definitely enhances my life to have a group of women that I can go to laugh, to vent, to cry, to get my ass handed to me, because the circle of friends that I have, they have absolutely no problem, as you will hear in this episode, telling me about myself, and they expect the same in return. So I have my two friends, Denisha and Asha, come in. This is their first time recording a podcast. but we had a lot of fun. There are a little bit of audio hiccups because we are moms, okay? And so you're getting the real conversation in real time. So bear with us, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, so first I want to thank my friends for joining me. Usually I'm doing these episodes by myself, but I thought it was important to bring in some Black women in here that I'm actually friends with. So first, just introduce yourself and share what you do so that the audience has like an idea of who I'm talking to. Who wants to go first?
Okay, I'll go. My name is Asha. I am a licensed professional counselor in Atlanta. I specialize in working with clients that have psychosis, but I also, you know, dabble in other things too, as far as like depression, anxiety, managing work stress, maternal health.
What you do, Nisha?
Well, hello, everyone. I am Denisha, and I am a crisis responder with the VA. So like Asha just stated, she does a lot of things. I touch on a lot of things also. I don't just work with veterans. I also work with civilians. So if you need any assistance, any mental health assistance, call 988 and press 1.
So,
and you may get Nisha.
Shameless plug. So I brought y'all on this episode today because lately, as y'all will have noticed, we're all in the mental health field. I've had a lot of Black women talking about having a hard time making friends. For some reason, I'm getting this pool of young women. They're like 23 to about 26, 27. So they're like fresh out of college, and they're trying to live real life, and they're having a hard time making friends as an adult and understanding what a friendship is outside of college. But then I also have this group of women that's like, I'll give 38 to about 55, but they're also having issues with making friends. And so it's a lot of isolating to themselves, especially with the pandemic, isolating, and there's a trust factor as well. So I would like to get your ideas on how it was for you making friends, especially as a Black woman, because we're known for not being friendly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
first, I just want to put out there that maintaining friendships and making friends in your adulthood is hard. It is very hard. So if anybody is experiencing that and it's like, why is it so hard to have a friend or to keep friendships, you're not alone at all.
Because all of us have struggled.
Exactly.
Yes. A lot of people struggle with it. I mean, you have to factor in, it looks different. Like our adulthood looks different than when we were younger, yeah, where we had less responsibilities. Like people weren't, you know, we now have children, we now work, we now have to, we out here, especially us millennials, like out here breaking generational curses. Like it's hard. Life is hard.
It is.
So managing and maintaining that, and then also trying to manage and maintain relationships, it's a lot. It is. I will say, fortunately for me, I have never, I've never had issues with solid girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Like I've just been blessed to have, always have been blessed to have a really good circle of solid girlfriends. Now I will say in my adulthood, I have came more across women that are not, how can I put this?
I'm, you don't trying have to be politically correct. Tell us what they are.
I'm trying to like, I've been, I think as an adult, I've been so surprised with how many women have not experienced a good friend. Like it's some people where I'm like, dang, your friend did that? Or like, I'm shocked. Like, oh my God, those are the people you call friends? Because I haven't experienced, like that is not my experience. So it's been interesting coming across women, like I said, in my adulthood who have never experienced what a real girlfriend is, never experienced what a real friendship is, doesn't know really what it looks like. And I think some of that could also be that some people don't know how to be a good friend. So they attract people that aren't good friends and they're labeling it as friends, and that it's definitely not that at all.
What about you, Denisha?
So let's start off with, everybody is not a friend.
Hello.
Agreed. Everybody is not a friend. And also, for me, I look at friendship like a relationship. You know, like I'm big on loyalty. That's number one for me. And I can say for myself, like being from Detroit, I have like a different mentality from other people. So like I'm always on like high alert, and I always have like my guard up also. But it's how I was raised. So a lot of my friends, a lot of my childhood friends are from Detroit, and we understand each other. So like when I went to college or got out of college, you know, I met friends or whatever, but some of those friends didn't continue on because like for me, what I do is, you know, I sit back and I observe a person and I just pay attention to them. And if you're moving kind of funny, then I'm going to move away from you. And you know, like Asha was saying, like it's hard maintaining friendships with women. We all have different outlets. We all have different things that's going on. Some people don't have kids. Some people have kids. Like you have to understand what a friend is. A friend is supposed to be like family. Like if you down, you down. If you need me, you need me. You know, they always supposed to be there. Like I said, it's like a relationship to me. And some people really don't value that. And it's messed up. And when you start to see people moving funny, like you have to look at it yourself. Like, let me just fall back. Let me fall back and let me just see how this person is. You could talk to that person, but sometimes that, you know, when we're young, we don't really pay attention to that stuff, and we don't understand. But you did say something about the women who are older, which is like 38 to whatever.
It's about 55, yeah.
So I'm not 38. Not there yet. Let's make that clear. Quiet, Asha. But What I can say for those women, just what I've seen, I think that sometimes they're focused on a lot of other different things.
Oh yeah.
And it really don't, some people have themselves together to where they're like doing stuff like we're doing podcasting, networking, but a lot of them are also focused on me.
Yeah.
They're focused on me. And so, you know, maybe they not trying to really be friends because their attention is somewhere else. So, you know, it's hard for them to be friends. And then, you know, whatever they did in their 20s and, you know, younger, it seemed like they still act like that, you know?
Yeah, that is some of the case with some of them. I think also when you talk about their focus is different, they're like empty nesters.
Mm-hmm.
They don't got no kids no more. And so this mm-hmm. is like a second revival of their life. Mm-hmm. And if you're one of those moms where, and this is just like, if you're a mom, because we're all moms. If you put so much of your energy into being a mom and it's like everything else about me goes on the back burner, then you have no clue what you're going into. You don't know what you like. So it's hard to build relationships with people when you don't know yourself at like mm-hmm. that end of the spectrum. And I don't think it's very different at the beginning of the spectrum either. Like you don't know who you are. You don't know.
You're trying to figure yourself out.
Right. You just associate yourself with being this college student in the college life. And now you got real bills, you got real mm-hmm. damn adulting to do, and you don't have time to do all the things that you used to do. So,
and just the older women also, some of them are going through divorces. So, you know, they don't know how to deal with things. Like they're trying to find themselves again. So it's hard to be a friend. It's hard for somebody to understand. Like if you're not going through a divorce, you really don't understand what I'm going through. So sometimes, you know, when we talk, we just want people to listen. But sometimes you had a friend that's talking too much and giving you information and you like, girl, I need you to tell me all this.
Because I just needed you to listen. I did not need your
advice. So that's interesting that you say that though, because how open do you feel about having those types of conversations with your friends? I think if we're thinking about relationships, intimate relationships, which would even be a friendship, sometimes mm-hmm. we have to ask for things that one is Black women, we're not used to asking for. Like we just kind of go with the flow. But when you think about your relationships now, how do you ask them? Or ask for what you want. Like, I don't want you to give me advice. I just want you to listen.
You just simply say it.
I was gonna say, I know with my friends, like I am very straightforward as far as that. Like if I'm calling to vent, I will preface the conversation, I just want to vent right now. Mm-hmm. And then go in with whatever it is. If I'm asking for advice, I will say that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure this out. I need some advice. Like, what do y'all think? But
I personally,
very direct, straightforward, like, I'm going to tell you what I need from you in that moment.
And I personally text Asha a lot. So let's, let's make that clear. But I'll tell Asha what I need from her. But see, that starts with knowing how to communicate. And mm-hmm. you have to know your friend. Yes. You have to know. Sometimes if I'm talking to Asha, Asha may already pick up. Nisha just want me to listen. Or Nisha mm-hmm. needs advice. If I don't say it, because I might just text her off on a tangent. I might just text her and just, I might do like some eyes or something in the text message. And then, you know, that's how our conversation starts. But it's about knowing your friend and knowing how to communicate what you need from somebody. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can't do that. They don't know how to do that.
Yeah. And on the opposite side of that, I know one thing that I have been working on, and I actually, my husband has taught me this, is that not every time somebody comes to you, they're offering advice. As a therapist, you know, that is our job.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to learn in our relationships to cut that off and just listen, because not everybody wants your opinion. Just like I don't want everybody's opinion. Like sometimes mm-hmm. I just need to get it off my chest and just process it out loud and just have you there with me. Like I have been being intentional, because my husband says that all the time with me. He'd be like, dang, like, I ain't want you, I don't need you to solve
just
it. Like,
listen.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, on the opposite side of that, just learning and being aware of when someone, even if they don't say it, just being aware of when to give your advice and when not to, and asking them, do you want my opinion? Mm-hmm. Or do you just want me to listen? Mm-hmm. And let them answer that.
You know how I was saying, like, you have to pay attention to, like, when you're doing that communicating, you have to pay attention to what other people are saying too, because, like, if that's your friend, they know, like, what you need from them. But sometimes when you're talking to somebody, they can give their opinion, and then you're just like, well, dang, girl, that's how you really feel? It'd be so negative, and you'd be like, well, dang, that's how you really feel? And that's when you start to notice, like, hey, maybe I need not to talk to this person about certain things. Maybe I need to just talk to this person about shopping. But if I'm having issues with relationships or work related, maybe this is not the person that I need to vent to. You know, so you have those certain friends that you have to pay attention to, because if you continuously vent to that person that's negative, that's giving you what you don't want to hear, it's not positive, you know, things that they're saying, then you have to step away from that person and be like, okay, that's not for her. I'll use this for this person. But that's how some friendships break up also.
Yes.
Because a lot of people are opinionated, and you're just like, well, dang, I ain't know my friend really felt like this. And that's how you stop being friends with people too.
Do you think in those situations, though, that we have a tendency, because I'm thinking about your comment about, like, you sit back and you watch and you fall back. Do you think we have a tendency to ghost people without actually being honest and saying, well,
yeah, I did
this and I didn't really like this? We can be like, oh, I got you, girl.
Okay.
I am guilty. Listen, I will say this. I used to be a ghoster. I used to, like, but I realized, like, the only reason I was ghosting people was because I did not want to have confrontation, and I did not want to have those uncomfortable conversations. That was the only reason why I was ghosting people. And I would, I'm selective about my ghosting though too. Like, if I value a relationship, like if I value our friendship, I may be a little standoffish, or I may like fall back a little bit, but I am going to eventually have the conversation with
you. Circle back around.
Because I value our relationship, and I don't want our relationship to end. I want us to work through whatever issues we have, and then we move forward. Like, that is my goal for people that I consider consider friends. But, and I think that is a big problem with our generation, is the ghosting. Like, I don't like the way you moved. I didn't feel that. So, bye. Like, niggas don't value, excuse me, and I'm a lot of cuss. Excuse me, people don't value. I don't think people value friendship.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they can't value something they don't know what is, because if we look back, we talk about the generational stuff, we don't see, like, we might see our parents or our moms with friends, but a lot of times she running us to stuff and doing stuff for us and, like, in our faces. So, like, I don't remember, I may remember, like, a few people that my mom was close with, but I don't remember seeing, like, and you know, I'm a military brat, so me building friendship looks very different to what other people, like, I don't have those long time relationships, which sometimes I long for that, to have like the best friend where it's like, we've been friends for years and this, that, and the other, but I don't have that. So I had to learn how to make friends and keep friends, because every couple of years I was moving. But where do we get that from? We watch this trash on TV, which they always be backstabbing and just making us look horrible.
Exactly.
So where do you get that from? And then again, like, going back to the Black women can't be friends with one another without being catty or being backstabbing or being nasty to one another. where is the guidance? Like, where do we see that to know this is how you become a friend?
So for me, I know, like, growing up, I didn't see my mom, like, with a lot of friends either. But at first, I was, like, weird in school. Like, I would never talk to nobody or whatever the case is. And then I became the most popular girl in school, which is weird. But as I got older, even though I became the most popular girl in school, I also became a bully. Mm. Like, I was the mean girl. I became the mean girl. And that was because I really didn't know how to be a friend. Like, I didn't know how to be a friend. And so those, the women that I speak of when I say I'm from Detroit and I still have those friendships with them, we went to school with each other since elementary. And we went mm-hmm. to middle school and then we went to high school. But it's crazy because my kid's godmother, I didn't like her. But we cheered together. And y'all, I spent the night at this girl's house every night. Like, when it was cheerleading weekend, I spent the night at her house every night. And I still, like, be thinking to this day, like, how do we become so close? And then you my kid's godmother. but then I think low-key is that she was weird. I wasn't weird. I was the most popular girl in school. But it's like, I really wanted to be her friend, though, y'all. Like, I really wanted to be her friend. And so, you know, that to me, that's fake. You know, that's fake because behind closed doors, I wasn't her friend in school, but I'm at her house.
Yeah. Mm.
So I don't even know where I even got the guidance to be like, oh no, I really want to be her friend. So I'm going to let people know that she's my friend now. And still to this day, like, we're still friends. She's my kid's godmother. So a lot of things I didn't have guidance on growing up. I just had to figure things out on my own. And I started, as I got older, I started to see how other people were moving. And I'm like, oh, I want that for myself. I want friendships. I want relationships. You know, I want something that's going to last because I didn't have this growing up. I didn't have this. I don't know what this looks like. So as for me, like, when it comes to a family, I'll say I want to create my own family. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my family have become our friends, people that I've met when I moved to Atlanta. They've become, my work family has become family, like real family to me. And so, you know, I think it's something that you have to desire, that you have to want. So that's why I'm so serious about relationships and friendships. Like, that's why they both of them go hand in hand to me. And that's why I say I speak so big on loyalty before I speak on love. Because to me, loyalty is number one before love. Like, love is second for me because I need you to be loyal. If you're loyal, then love will follow. So.
Mm.
I think for me, it was, I'm the only child. So I've always longed for the relationship, for those friendships. So I think that is where my, like, cause I see my mom with people, but she didn't have like a lot of friends, you know? My dad was very, my dad knew a lot of people, but my dad instilled in me very early on to know the difference between friends and associates. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is your friend. He like instilled that, like, listen, you can be kind, you can talk, you can kick it with this person, but that does not mean that that person is your friend, you know? So I've always been able to like put people that I associate with in categories. I've never been one to call everybody my friend just because we're cool. Never. Yeah. But I've always valued friendships because I am the only child. So I always wanted friends.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I came in contact with really good people that have showed me, I like this feeling. I like our relationship. Mm-hmm. I like how this feels. I like how you make me feel, and I want to do the same for you. And I want to do the same for the next person that I may be interested in building a relationship with. Like, I like that. So I want to give out what I'm receiving.
What you're receiving.
Yeah. And then now, as far as like the mean girl, yeah, I have the label and the title of people considering me a mean girl. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I am mean. However, I am not the most welcoming. But once I talk to you.
Exactly. I think we're good. all gotten the mean girls.
We've all been labeled as
all been labeled mean girls, intimidating, mm-hmm. all of that. And I've been called all types of things. Like, I thought you were a bitch when I first. Well, mm-hmm. I mean,
I get that all the time.
I'm not walking around like super smiling and like this is my face, right? And if I don't know you or something, I'm gonna kind of keep to myself until like I start
talking to you.
But for some reason, it's automatically, and of course we know that's like, you know, societal and racism and everything like that. It is just known stereotypically that, you know, the angry Black woman, she just mean, she just nasty after she's intimidating and she gonna come after you. And it's like, no, if you want to have a conversation with me, you'll see how I actually am. But if not, then that's your choice. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
Okay. Okay, that's your business.
Have any of you had a friendship breakup? I know I had one. I think y'all know about my friendship break. It was hard. It was devastating. It was triggered for me a couple weeks ago. But having a friendship breakup, separation, divorce.
Yes. And it's like when people act like, oh, when they broke up with a longtime friend or they broke up with a friend that they was with all the time and they just be acting like, oh, well, whatever, we're not friends anymore. I call bullshit on that every time, because breaking up with a good friend,
it hurts.
You're like grieving a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like breaking up with a boyfriend. It's like breaking up, like that is a intimate relationship that you no longer have. It hurts. And it's mm-hmm. okay to acknowledge, yeah, I'm mad at that. But my feelings are hurt. Like, I'm hurting. I've had one breakup with a friend that we broke up in our freshman year of college. We had been friends since middle school. We broke up our freshman year of college just because I didn't like how she was treating me and stuff, and it was hard, and I stopped talking to her, and then we actually ended up reconnecting when my dad died in 2017. She just showed up to the funeral. I hadn't talked to her in like a very long time, but she, you know, we were family, so she knew my mm-hmm. family. So she mm-hmm. showed up to my dad's funeral, and I just remember her just walking up to me, and she was just bawling, crying, and we just like hugged each other and like embraced each other, and she was just like, I am so sorry. And she wrote me this letter, like she sent me a letter, like when I was coming back to Atlanta from my dad's funeral, she gave my mom a letter to give to me, and she just apologized. It was just a long letter about apologizing for everything and how she wished that our friendship didn't end. I mean, at that point I had been healed from the situation. Yeah. So it was kind of like I thank you for that. You know, I really appreciate that. I don't want to redo this with you.
That was going to be my question. Yeah.
But, and that does not mean that there's any bad blood. It just means that I have healed from this and I have moved forward. And we, you know, and that was that. And we speak to each other, you know, on social media when we see each other, you know, it's a hey, if I'm back at home, but yeah. And then so if I can be honest, me and Nisha had a falling out last year, and that really hurt my feelings. And I had talked to you about that, Natasha.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was like, because me and Nisha, we're good friends. So mm-hmm. when me and her fell out, it did hurt my feelings. I did talk to Nisha about it, and Nisha did what she does. She ghosted. And
I did.
Bothered me. It really bothered me, because I was like, dang, like I've been so good, Nisha. Like, she can't even talk to me about that, you know. But that's how Nisha communicated back then.
So yeah, so I might have missed the ways of communicating, but it's because of how I was, you know, how I had to, my upbringing, how I had to be. But it hurt me as well. Like, I was pregnant. I was all emotional. And I was like, why is she not understanding? Like, this is my friend. And I'm like, I always be with the kids. Like, I was very emotional. And I know, like, I was saying to myself, I was like, I know her husband, like, bruh, y'all need to get together.
I know he was saying that because that's just how he is. Like, man, y'all up here arguing about something stupid. Like, and it did hurt me so much, but I think that I was just so mad that I just mm-hmm. was like, I'm not about to talk to her because I was high risk. And I was like, I'm just not about to let this bother me. But it bothered me so much. And I'm like, we need to talk about this. And I'm also stubborn too. So I probably, you know, yes, go with the out. You know, therapists need therapy too. I'm not perfect. So I am working on me. Those are things absolutely that I'm doing. But yes, me and Asha did have a little slight falling out. And look, we here. We on this podcast.
I know. Y'all are here with me.
So that shows you what real friendships are, because I just recently had a breakup with a friend. And this was a friend from my childhood. And we're not going to be friends anymore. And we did not have, well, we did have a conversation after the fact. But the things that were said, it doesn't warrant me to want to be her friend anymore. And I had to look at other things that had taken place for me to be like, yeah, this is not a real friend. Maybe she was a friend years ago, but as an adult now, I don't need that energy in my life. It wasn't working for me. So I had to separate myself from her. And I feel good. I feel good. I don't miss her. None of that. Like, that's why I say you have to know your friends, because that friend was a user and I never seen it. I never seen it. Like, people would say things to me, but you don't want to listen to what others say. You have to see things for yourself. Nice. And granted, it took a while for me to recognize that this friend was really a user, and I consider her as family. And even with my child, like, my child and her son were really good friends. It seems like she may have told him to stop communicating with my child. So I'm just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, let's just go ahead and just break this up, because we don't need that. We don't need that. But you see how me and Asha, we were able to talk and like, girl, kill your attitude. We do.
Right.
Because we forever. And most people don't have that. Like, they really don't have that. And I'm telling you, I can be a difficult friend and I can be a difficult partner. But I'm able to say that because I know me. I know me, and I know I'm not perfect, but I know how to deal with different people. Each one of my friends, I know how to deal with them, and they should know how to deal with me. Like she said, Nisha ghosted me. I will ghost you quick and I won't care about it. I will not, but it's not good. It's not healthy, especially when you love your friend.
So. Yeah, you definitely have to be vulnerable in relationships, and a good friendship is, you know, loving your friend when they're not lovable.
Oh, I like that, because I know I'm not always the most lovable person.
Right.
My attitude could be on a million sometimes, just like across the board. But I think that confrontational piece, like being willing to be like, listen, bring your attitudes, sit the hell down, and let's figure out what the problem is so we can get through this, and be like either okay to find a compromise or like agree to disagree. And like, don't harbor on those feelings. Like, we resolved it. Let it go. I'll see you tomorrow, bitch. Like,
yeah. Like, okay, you can be mad. Listen, I'll let you go through your emotions, but we here forever, okay? So get through whatever you need to get through, and then call me when you're done.
Yeah.
If I call you and we do it and I say, hey, I need you to pull up, we gotta go handle something, you better be like, oh, where we gotta go. That's I need that type of friend. Like, okay, we into it, but we already know
I don't do, y'all know I don't be fighting, so don't call me to pull up because she won't show up. That's just me being honest. Y'all know where I fall. I don't do that fighting stuff.
We might not be fighting. We might have to do something else. Oh my god.
When it comes to you, we probably fighting, and I'm not coming.
Tasha, we are our professionals here. We are not fighting anyone. Listen, we are being recorded.
Sometimes people choose violence. My violence is by using my words.
Mine too. We are being recorded.
So we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up because it's Sunday. We got things to do. But I appreciate you all being part of my friend circle. It has been really hard keeping my friendships together going in the business and trying to be a business owner and trying to like make it out on my own. And sometimes, you know, you have to like isolate yourself and really focus. I've grown so much. Like this last year, I've grown so much. And I said, going into 2023, I am going to make like a better effort to be available to my friends because I'm not in corporate anymore. So I don't have to move with the corporate mindset of throw myself into my business. So that's one of my goals for 2023. So I appreciate y'all sticking it out with me. Even when I'm gone and y'all trying to figure out where I'm at, I'm here.
let's also be mindful of this too. Sometimes we may not talk every day. It may be weeks when we don't talk to each other. But if I need you or if I need Asha, I know that I can text you and say, hey, girl, I need to talk. And we're going to pick up like we've been talking, like we just talked yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's what a friendship is. A friendship is not, girl, I ain't heard from you in so long. So now you want to talk, like you want to call me and talk about something. That's not a friend. And it's not a friend also to communicate to someone else and be like, girl, I ain't heard from Asha in like 2 weeks and now she's trying to text my phone. That's not a friend.
Right.
We all have different stuff going on and you have to be an understanding friend that everybody's schedule is not like yours. So being that you are always busy, but you're still available when we need you. So that's what matters the most, that you have to understand. You have to be understanding to be a friend also. And most people are not understanding. Yeah. They get in their feelings and be like, oh, she's not talking to me. And stuff like that's not healthy. You have to know who your friends are. Remember, you have to know who your friends are.
You do. And grace is imperative in relationships. You got to give your friends grace. Just like you got to give yourself grace, you got to give your friends grace because we're busy. We're all adults. We all have a lot going on. So just because, you know, it could be 1 week where you talking to your friend almost every day, and then a week where you ain't heard not one word. Mm-hmm. And then the next time you guys talk, it's like nothing happened. You know, listen, life is hard.
Okay? Life be life.
You have to give yourself grace. And not children aren't the only people that I saw this post. It was like, children aren't the only people that need a village. Adults need villages too. Mm-hmm. And I think a big piece of, sorry, I'm back. Jumping all the way back real quick. I know you got to wrap this up, but I think a big piece of it is we're in this little no new friend stage. And I will admit that I definitely was like that at one point where it was, I got my friends, I'm good. I don't need nobody else. And then I realized that I am missing out on a lot of great people because I'm choosing not to put myself out there. I'm choosing not to expand my network because of whatever this is. For me, it was just not wanting to build new relationships because I have like semi-social anxiety. But so I realized like, heck no. So I'm very open now to embracing new people.
He will give you a look first.
Yes, I am very I am observant, but I'm not closed off to building a relationship. Now I ain't gonna go out there and be like, oh, hi everybody, but but I have now kind of put myself in situations. I've been intentional over the last year putting myself in situations to where I can meet new people. Like I'm now in a Bible study, a women's Bible study group. I wouldn't have did that at first, but I'm realizing that there's so many great people out here that can offer resources and support and love. And you have to get out of that no new friend mindset and be open to receiving new people.
And then Asha, like, even though, you know, like you're receiving things, like you may be a blessing to someone too.
Yeah.
You may be coming into someone's life and, you know, they may need you. Like they may really need you. And then when, you know, you two come together, you like, this was meant to be. And that's mm-hmm. what's been happening for me, meeting new people, like with my son playing football. I wasn't really open to those football moms because I'm like, hey, I'm just at practice. I don't have to deal with them. I'm just at practice. But I love all of them. Like, you know, like they're really good people. I'm not going to say they're my friends.
Right.
I call them the football moms, like, to anybody. I'm like the football moms, but they're mm-hmm. really cool people. But I've noticed that they need me in their circle for something. Each person mm-hmm. needs me for something and I need them for something. Mm-hmm. So you have to, you know, you have to take what you can get from people and then you give too, so that, you know, it becomes whole.
Absolutely. 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 And just one quick thing, I'm sorry, because I had to add to that, because that was good. That was good. One quick thing. So my own testimony. So I told you guys that I'm in the Women's Bible Study group. So in the spring, we had a Bible study at the park and we were doing like a little icebreaker game. And one of the girls came up to me and she was talking to me and I wasn't standoffish, but at the same time, I was like, I didn't really want to talk. Mm-hmm. And we just ended up talking and she asked me where I lived. And I was like, I'm out in the Marietta area. She was like, oh, I live and blah, blah, blah. She was like, well, let's just exchange numbers. So I'm like, okay, cool. Didn't think nothing of it. Didn't talk to her after that moment and was going through the home buying process. And she actually ended up being my neighbor at my house.
Really?
Yeah, she is my neighbor. And we do stuff with the kids all the time. Like, she is like my good neighbor over here.
How cool is that?
Isn't it? Isn't it cool? Now, if I would have been like, girl, you know, then
right, but I would know your name in the neighborhood chat. So we just got a new neighbor. Don't talk to her because you know every neighborhood got a chat. Yeah. We was in
girl, and she's vegan, so Neil's lactose intolerant, so she be making us vegan mac and cheese all the time and be bringing it over here, like. She's very supportive, and she's been someone that I have added to my village.
So what do you feel is one thing you would like to share with the women of this audience about making a friend or maintaining a friend or transitioning out of a friendship that will be supportive for them? They're pausing y'all because I said say one thing and they have
a heart. That's what I was like. That was a lot.
Just choose one, like, or what's one piece of advice about being a Black woman out here trying to make friends?
I think my one piece of advice would be kind of what I just mentioned, being open to experiencing new relationships with women. I believe that what you put out in the world is what you will get back. So if you just be kind, if you put that energy out, it will attract, you will get that back. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the biggest thing.
Be open to receive
and just walk with kindness.
And I would say I agree with everything that Asha is saying. Also, you know, communicate. Mm-hmm. Communicate, mm-hmm. You know, what you need from your friend, because sometimes your friend doesn't know what you need from them. That's how you will maintain a friendship with someone. And really, that's it, because communication goes a long way. Like I said, I'm just touching back on what Asha said. So all of that plus the communication piece, but really being open is one of the biggest things, and communicate with them.
Yeah.
And, it's observing the things, like, you know, and if it doesn't feel right, you know, you communicate those things. Just don't ghost people like me. Don't ghost people. talk about it for real. And no, that's a friend becomes family. And like I said, I treat friendships and relationships the same. So, you know, think of it in that mindset of I wouldn't do my partner like this, so I wouldn't want it to be that way. You have to be mindful of the things you say and mindful of the things you do.
Yeah. I think important part is also checking in with yourself. Checking in with yourself is what do you want from a friend? Like writing down, like, what is it that I want in my friendship? What is it? How do I want to look like as a friend too? Mm-hmm. Because I think that is a big piece too. Like, how are you as a friend?
Don't be asking for things that we're not willing to give.
No expectations.
We can't ask for things that we're not willing to give.
Right. Exactly. In a good, solid friendship, it takes two people pouring into each other.
Right.
Yep. Like, you want people to pour into you, you better make sure that you are pouring into those people too.
Yep. Do not ever make your friend feel empty, and never expect anything from anyone. No expectations. Go through, open mind, communicate about those.
Aw, thank you so much. This was so good. This is how our conversations be going sometimes, with a lot more expletives, y'all. But yeah. I appreciate y'all so much. I hope this is helpful for those that are listening. Friendships are so important, especially for us, because there's so much against us in this world. So many people trying to tell us what we don't deserve and what we aren't. So having that village, that tribe, to be able to say, no, girl, but you are, and like hype you up and being your wingman, definitely is necessary. So I love y'all. Thank you so much.
Yes. I love you too. I love y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. But before you go, I'd love to invite you to share with me what's coming up. What are some breakthroughs or discoveries you experienced after listening to this episode? I would love to hear. If you're wanting to share that with me, and if you are wanting support to work through those things, you can go ahead and fill out the application in the show notes. You can fill out this application so that I can get to know a little bit more about you, what's coming up, and then my team and I will reach out to you. We'll respond within 24 to 48 hours if it makes sense for us to set up time. Because I would love to see how I can support you in having these breakthroughs and really transitioning your life into more pleasure. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Unapologetic Vixen podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you enjoyed this episode, like, leave a comment, and share it with someone you know could use the space. If you're ready to tap into your pleasure, join the virtual Vixen Suite. It's a safe space for Black women to gain support and empowerment as they access pleasure, intimacy, and satisfying sex every day. And remember, pleasure is your right, boo.